Ooh, welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're going to break down football Sunday, and I guess Thursday, because we didn't do that last week. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws because the referees sewed 360-something coming hot at you guys. And all the other sodes before that one, and it's me and Toss on this one today. Nikki Snacks Kreider unfortunately couldn't be with us. He's at a photo shoot in Las Vegas. He's working as an exotic dancer for the next like 6 days, so that should be pretty interesting. Wishing him the best of luck. It's at the Bellagio, so that's kind of cool.
The Kalen Bellagio.
Yeah. Too bad he stunk, because that'd have been a good, the Hotel Bellagio, that'd have been a good fantasy name.
Is that guy on an NFL roster right now?
I doubt it. Maybe, don't think so. What are you, how are you? Well, our fantasy team is not, we played Nick this week. Nick was asleep at the wheel in fantasy football, and he left Will Fuller in there. Will Fuller didn't play. We were sitting right. Pretty. Tua Tagovailoa, who's our quarterback two, he injures his ribs and had to get carted off.
First quarter.
So he doesn't even play. So that's pretty much a zero. And then honestly, our other quarterback stunk. Like Burrow was bad today.
Yeah, we're lucky he turned it around a little bit at the end, because it was abysmal until he threw those two touchdowns.
Yeah, we almost hit our projection. Waller wasn't great. So we're not sitting pretty there. My other league and Nick, we're up 15, and Nick has Hawkinson. In my other league, I'm up 8.5. The other kid has Hawkinson. I'm not rooting for an injury, but I need Hawkinson to like be like quadruple covered all night for some unknown reason.
Yeah, you want a Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift feast on the ground game, but it's not going to happen. Obviously, it's looking pretty dim for both of us.
Yeah, it's not looking good. How are you in your other leagues?
You know what? I did not have a good week across the board. One, there was nothing I could do. The other guy was just had everyone, Kyler and Tyler Lockett and McLaurin on one team.
Oh my
so,
God.
Yeah. There's not much I'm doing against that guy.
Horrible. Someone in my other league had that too.
Really?
Yeah.
When I'm up 15 and he's got Rodgers. So unless Aaron Rodgers really is just coasting to retirement and decides like he doesn't want to play tomorrow and they pull him after the first quarter, that's looking bad. And then my guys just, it's a standard league and none of my guys scored touchdowns. So,
see ya.
Yeah. Couldn't do anything about it. He also had Buffalo D and Matt Prater. So when you get 32 points from your defense and kicker in a standard league, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah, it's over. And your guys, that stinks. That's just rotten luck. I had Marquez Callaway and Robbie Anderson combine for, I think, 9 points. So that's my wide receiver three. Or an M4. It's an interesting league. It's two QBs, two wide receivers, two running backs, two a flex, a tight end, and then a running back slash wide receiver and a wide receiver slash tight end. It's an insane league. No defense, no kicker. But I had Derrick Henry, Tom Brady, and Travis Kelce, and they combined for a gazillion points. Yeah.
Yes.
Plus Calvin Ridley and
King Henry is back.
Yeah. And I picked up James White. Mike Davis actually had a better game than I thought he would. So I benched him, but I still, James White plays still worked out for me in my favor.
Yeah. Yeah. James White had that touchdown run. Damian Harris had that awesome touchdown run. That was an impressive 25-yard run.
I felt so bad. So what we'll do is Toss has, and I told you so, that he'll get to give at the midway end at some point whenever he feels like it. I'll throw two things out there. Toss, throw two things out there. Takeaways from this Sunday. We'll ask each other a question we haven't heard yet. And we'll go from there, breaking down football. But before we get into football, I just want to throw this at you because I don't know if you're not football related, actually.
Yeah.
So have you seen The Malice in the Palace doc on Netflix?
I have not. No.
Dude. Jermaine O'Neal, Reggie Miller, Ron Artest, And then you have Steven Jackson all talking about the issue. It's right. with the fan, with law enforcement, with the refs. It just, everybody's discussing this thing. Ben Wallace. And it was one of my favorite 30 for 30s I've seen. It wasn't a 30 for 30. It was a Netflix doc, but it was one of my favorite sports docs I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I actually listened to Jermaine get interviewed by Ryan Russillo, and I think he dropped a lot of what actually happens in the doc. So after I listened to that podcast, I wanted to go watch, but I also felt like I had gotten a little bit of a taste of it. But I'll definitely have to go do it now that you've recommended it.
Now knowing Jermaine is key, Reggie's really key.
Well, Jermaine produced, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you really see how Jermaine and Reggie really got dick down in Dallas, honestly. Yeah. But for anyone listening, yeah, go check that out. It's great. But I figured you would like it if you haven't seen it. So it's a must. Plus I'm on part two of the Mets documentary on 30 for 30. It's really good too.
And we just had Miles T on the show. So we're heavily involved in the Pacers right now. We're rooting for them next year. Obviously, yeah. This was something that's kind of a blemish on the organization's record. But for some reasons, it shouldn't be. And that's why people should go watch the documentary, because it's really layered. There's a lot going on there. A lot about legality and athletes and how Jermaine O'Neal was treated, for sure. Which,
yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot a lot, honestly. It was pretty crazy to listen back on that.
Yeah, before we get into...
Cool, but back to the NFL football. Big takeaway. I'll start a little negative, honestly.
Well, I don't get my I told you so.
And I think Mac Jones is a different case, because I think that Patriots team is ready to compete. The defense is good. The offensive line's good. The skill position players, there's not like sexy names, but they're all guys that are seasoned vets and can play a pivotal role and a key role, and they fit the offense. And so for him to kind of get into that the Patriot way, it's similar to Alabama, the quick throws, just get the ball out quickly. Don't make many mistakes. So the effort, it's going to be kind of seamless. He's not asked to do as much. Whereas guys like Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, they're walking onto teams that are garbage. Those two teams respectively are the second and worst team in the NFL by a good amount. And having a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, it does not matter, because that one pick does not save the team. That one draft does not save the team. It's pretty apparent, and we say this all the time, that it's two different sports. Same rules, two different sports. When Trevor Lawrence is in college at Clemson, it's a situation where he has the best offensive lineman. He has the best skill position players, and his team is just better all around. Obviously, he's the best player, but his team is better all around by and large than the opposing team. It's not the case in the NFL. With the Jacksonville Jaguars, it's actually quite the opposite. Zach Wilson, similar situation. And it kind of goes back to the point that I think we've made. Yeah, it's Trevor Lawrence, and yeah, Zach Wilson's the number two pick, but those guys are blatantly rushed into this situation. For the Jets, it's kind of ridiculous, because he's a BYU quarterback. He's not even a Power 5 guy. And they don't even have a contingency plan. There's no real backup on the roster. They didn't go out and get Nick Foles. They didn't bring back Flacco in any capacity. They don't have a guy that's been there before that's a good mentor for Zach Wilson. They kind of just have Zach Wilson alone on an island over there in New York. And to say he was bad today is an understatement. He was horrid. Like, almost as bad as Nathan Peterman. It wasn't even like he was like slightly overthrowing guys. He was throwing it. And at one point the announcer was like, who was he throwing to? Just not have a good handle. Didn't handle it well once he started to crumble. And to be honest, he shouldn't be out there. And I don't even know if Trevor Lawrence should be out there either, because he doesn't look that great, to be honest. So yeah, it seems like these two young guys are rushed into the situation. It just kind of goes back. Unless your team is fully ready to compete, and that means the pieces around the quarterback, then the rookie quarterback shouldn't be thrust in to action right away. It just really it rarely works out. And guys can fizzle out, get hurt. You know, it's a mental thing as well. It puts them a step back mentally. Like this Jaguars and Jets team they're still really bad outside the quarterback play. It's not good at all.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is really, really valid. And it's something that you harp on all the time, right? It's about the construction of the roster, where these teams are when they go and get that quarterback. And Mac Jones going to the Patriots, that's a team that has a balanced offense. They've got decent weapons. They went and spent a lot of money there. They've got the defensive players. It's all in place for him to go. And yes, people are already criticizing him in comparison to Zach Wilson because they're like, you can't look at the two of them because he doesn't have to make the same type of plays. That's exactly why they drafted him, so that he doesn't have to make those type of plays and he can find his footing as an NFL quarterback and quote unquote game manage, utilize the good rushing attack that they have. Damian Harris, James White, we already mentioned, both of them scored, and just go to work and let his team do a lot of the heavy lifting. And all he has to do is really execute. And it's the same thing, right? Fields gets slotted in because Andy Dalton goes down, but that's a good Bears defense. They've got Allen Robinson. They've got Darnell Mooney. They've got Cole Kmet. Like, they've got good weapons. David Montgomery's their running back. Like, these are complete teams. And the last thing that you're doing is slotting in the quarterback. Yeah. Riverboat Ron came out and said, we're not going to go get our quarterback until we have the rest of our young core figured out. And 100%. So, yeah, it's just, I'm not surprised that these guys are struggling like this. Now, I don't want to ride off Zach Wilson. I don't want to say that, you know, he's toast. He's Josh Rosen. He'll never be a starting quarterback in the league, and he shouldn't be, because we've got plenty of season left to see some good things from him. And obviously we know what he can do with his legs. We know what he can do on the run, but you can't make mistakes like that. I mean, in college, that ball's going over the head of a free safety, right? And it's no big deal, but this is the NFL. Those guys are going to take advantage. And then that's how you lose, is because you give opportunities to the other team. And we just saw it in the Sunday night game.
Yeah. Right? On both ends. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
He fumbles at the very end. Lamar Jackson wins it for the Ravens, which also, that exchange between him and Harbaugh on the sideline was one of the coolest things I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that where Harbaugh was like, what do you want to do? And Lamar was like, I want to go for it. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, he's just an absolute gamer. And we kind of segue into that. But yeah, I just, you know, like I said, the Jets, they lose Becton for weeks. So their left tackle's done for weeks. Now your quarterback is thrust in there. A, you can't go back, and B, you can't go to anybody else because there's no one else on the roster that's as good as him, not even close. He's the best quarterback on the roster, but he's not ready yet. And in the Jags situation, as good as Trevor Lawrence was in college, there was going to be growing pains, and they're very evident. And like, even Fields wasn't good. Like, it's like it even Burrow struggled. Herbert's kind of like, you know, not been immaculate to start the year. It's like, it's, you know, we saw with Matt Ryan was great as for, you know, his first year's rookie year. And he had a huge sophomore slump, and he adjusted his third year, and then what goes on to have a great career. I mean, there are still growing pains in the NFL. I mean, these guys like Mahomes and Lamar, they're just like not the norm. There are certain guys that come in and they're just freaks of nature and they take over. But even those guys sat, like Mahomes sat a whole year. Lamar sat a majority of the year, like rushing guys in, unless like Ron Rivera is saying, or like the Patriots have, is a perfect situation. It's just not worth it. But I'll segue that into my next point, is that there is a lot. NFL is a lot tighter than I personally anticipated.
Mm.
And it could be the fans being back. I guarantee that played a big part in Baltimore tonight. I really thought the Chiefs were going to go in there and beat them badly. And for a minute, it looked like that would be the case. But they make mistakes. And the Ravens, who are a good football team with an excellent head coach and a quarterback who is the ultimate competitor, who will always and find a way to win. He will do whatever. Like, that's the fourth down call right there. That's him in a nutshell. Legs, arm, anything, lower his shoulder. He will his team to win or die trying.
And short-term memory, right? Because that guy is prone to turnovers. He really is, with how much he tucks the ball and tries to run it. I mean, he had over 100 rushing yards. He had over 10 carries. I think he had 12. And with, you know, how reckless he can throw sometimes, how he can try and force balls in there and he's thrown on the run. Like, those are incredibly difficult throws to make. Mm-hmm. And it's no surprise that he throws interceptions sometimes. It's the same thing with Mahomes, right? Like Mahomes,
that's what I was, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mahomes, like, on the ground, right? He chucks it, and obviously it can't get to anyone because he's not even, he's levitated off the ground, right? Because he's got a defender underneath him, and it's a pick. And unfortunately, there are other guys that try and do stuff like that, like Carson Wentz. And what happens to him is he gets injured. All that to say, like, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are a rare breed of quarterback. Mm-hmm. And they can get away with making those mistakes that guys like Zach Wilson can't.
Yeah.
So it's really, really, yeah, the landscape of the NFL, it's a lot tighter of a race. I do think that the Bucs feel pretty terrorizing to the rest of the NFL, at least in my mind. What they can do defensively, I mean, putting a team away with two back-to-back pick sixes was just epic. And what Brady's doing, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions through the first 2 games. We mentioned it a couple weeks ago, like, how could you not put some money down on Tom Brady to win the MVP?
Yeah.
I absolutely believe this guy is going to lead the league in touchdowns this year. I'd be surprised if he doesn't. Unfortunately, my sleeper RB pick didn't happen with Ronald Jones, but it's because this team, he just does it with the pass, right? He threw 2 more touchdowns to Gronk. The Brady Gronk connection is alive and thriving. He's got 4 touchdowns through the first 2 games. Gronk, man, he's just, some of these guys are just a different caliber.
Well, it's like Mike Evans doesn't do anything last week, and it's AB who makes his triumphant, you know, big game back. And this week it's Mike Evans who has 2 touchdowns, and Gronk has got 2 touchdowns. And Gronk's like still like 31, and he's the best tight end ever. Like, he took a year off. So what, big whoop. He took a year off when he was like 28, 29. And he's really back. I mean, damn right he's dangerous. And he's not getting the same amount of attention he got in New England.
Right.
Like, that has to go to Mike Evans, Godwin, and AB. Like, you just can't defend this team. And it's similar to like Alabama. Like, the Ole Miss game is going to be interesting, I guess, but it's in Tuscaloosa. Kind of just to quickly, you know, touch on college for a hot second, because that was great this weekend too.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, the Florida team could have actually, you know, maybe beaten Alabama had they gotten the 2-point conversion and sent it to overtime in the swamp. There was a shot. But the thing with Alabama and the thing with this Bucs team is, like, they're just going to get better as the season goes on. And it's something like we constantly forget. Like, this team, it's not like they're plateauing anytime soon. Like, that Bama team is just going to get better as everyone else gets better. This Buccaneers team is just going to get better and better. And I do think that's a great point that they're in a league of their own. And I think,
especially part of that is from what we saw from some of the other NFC teams, right? The Seahawks drop a game in overtime. The Saints, I know their coaching staff is dealing with a lot of the coaches that weren't there because of the COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. But they got thrashed by the Panthers, who are supposed to be, you know, vying for that last spot in the NFC South division.
Yeah.
The Falcons, who crushed the Falcons last week, or sorry, the Eagles, who crushed the Falcons last week, they lose a game, right? They come back down to earth. Like, all these other teams in the NFC. I mean, yes, the 49ers did win. They're 2-0, but it's same thing with the Rams. I didn't see enough from these teams in week 2 and their week 2 victories to say, oh, they're also the same type of 2-0 that the Buccaneers are.
Not even close. I think that's a great point, actually. And I won't ask my question now.
And the Cardinals eked out a victory against the Vikings. The Vikings, one of my big takeaways.
Yeah, please.
Look, special teams is so, so important. It always is. It always will be.
Yeah.
End of the game, Dallas Cowboys, Greg Zuerlein hits a 56-yarder. They win the game, 20-17. Vizcaino missed a field goal earlier in the game. Huge, right? Going into this end of the second quarter, could have gone into halftime tied 14-14. He misses a 40-yard field goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's 11-14 going into the half.
Yeah.
And the Vikings, I mean, the curse of Blair Walsh, right? They missed a 37-yarder. I mean, a tragic, tragic loss because they really needed that victory. But the Cardinals are a 2-0 and the Rams are a 2-0 and the Niners are 2-0. And it's just different than what the Buccaneers have done.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And the special teams point is excellent. I mean, something we discussed on our other show. And they wouldn't even, the 37-yard field goal would have been like moot. They would have just gone to overtime had that kicker hit the extra point earlier in the game.
Right.
So they're already in a bad situation. And the kicking is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
I mean, we got, like, the Rams almost blew it against the Colts, a team they should have handily beat. I am so not sold on that team. It's not even funny. And I haven't been from the jump. The Colts, me thinking the Colts are not going to be good is the equivalent. I mean, shout out to Michael Pittman Jr. I was stoked about that. And Carson Wentz better come back. Better come back because I need Pittman Jr. because Eason's not good. It's my Stan Van Gundy of the NFL. That was like my one heavy hitter pick, like, or take last NBA season. And my heavy take of the NFL season is the Colts are not going to be competitive. They just don't have it on offense. Like, that was like they, like, the Rams made a critical error and they played a really bad second half and they still went into Indianapolis and got it done. And I agree with you that there's different kinds of 2-0, and those three NFC West teams are very different than the Buccaneers.
Yeah. I mean, even I mentioned obviously the Chargers kind of mishaps, special team side of the ball.
Yeah.
On that same second quarter drive, the Cowboys have them at 4th and 20 and they rough the punter. I mean, yeah, those are kind of execution mistakes that you cannot make. The penalties, there have been penalties, yellow flags flying all across the NFL for the first 2 weeks. And I get it. A lot of guys, you didn't want to play them in preseason. You don't want to get them injured. And there's so much validity to that because there are guys that are dropping like flies, and that's how it always is. But with that comes a little tightening of the screws on an execution standpoint, because these teams are just, a lot of them are being way too heavily penalized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. A lot of penalties. Guys are, I see what you're saying for guys, like, you're not wanting to get guys hurt. But at the same time, like, a lot of these guys, because they didn't play in the preseason, are not at game speed.
Right. And then they go out there 100%, 110%. Mm-hmm. They haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Something bad happens.
Injuries. And then also penalties because they're not, like, fully acclimated.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think those points are great, the special teams. But you can't win. You can win with special teams, I guess, but you could definitely lose. Like, you can lose with special teams. It could kill you. Like, yeah. Talk, like, Bama, like, the kick six, outside of that, never. I've never seen Saban make a special teams mistake as far as I can think, ever.
Yeah.
I can't remember a muff punt.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of games that they've lost to Auburn and LSU over the years have happened because their kickers haven't hit field goals, right? And that's part of special teams too. Your kickers, they're college, obviously they're not getting paid for it, but in the NFL, you're getting paid to kick field goals, to make field goals, not just kick them, to make them.
Yeah. It's the only thing where the kid on the couch is like, yo, I could hit that. I'm like, no, but like, this guy should hit this though. Like, I get where you're going with that. Like, I understand that, like, hyperbole or like whatever, but you can't hit it. Not even with a gun to your mother's head. But I understand what you're saying in the sense that, yeah, this guy's one job is to hit field goals. And if it's under 50, he realistically should be knocking it in, especially in September when the weather is nowhere near what it'll be in some places in like December or November, even let alone January and February and playoffs start. What's your other point?
Instead of making a point, I'd like to deflect and ask you a question.
Go for it.
Are there any divisions where when you, Nick, and I broke down the divisions, we put our, you know, our first team, second team, third team, fourth team. Are there any clear jumps or jumbles of those lists in any of the divisions in the NFL that you've seen?
Jumbles. I'm excited to see how the North shakes out. I don't know what to make of the Steelers necessarily. Even though the Chiefs are now 1-1, I'm still headstrong on them being the top dog. Like, I'm headstrong on the Titans being the top dog. I think the North is could be a little bit tighter than I anticipated. I was out on the Ravens because of the injuries. Clearly, like, it's next man up there. And the whole vibe of the Ravens organization is just really incredible. I'm in on the Cowboys. We'll see what the Packers do tonight. I had the Seahawks, but I was like, my sneaky teams are the Cardinals, the Panthers, and the Broncos. And like, not to like jerk myself off here, but like, those teams are hitting right now, especially the Panthers. And we are in a group text. You, me, our acting coach, Nick. And he basically told me I was a moron for picking the Panthers over the Saints. But yeah, he doesn't listen to Brandon Lang's podcast with Danny Lopriori, where I've learned to hammer the home dog, which the Panthers were. And you brought it up that their coaching staff is decimated. No Marshawn Lattimore. Obviously, Michael Thomas isn't there. And I'm willing to buy high on Jameis Winston not being, you know, the prince that was promised necessarily. And it's only week, it was only week one. And fortunately I was right, but I don't think there's, I think it's a great question. I need to see what the Packers do. Cause if the Packers come out and flop against the Lions, then that would be my, then I will have to go with Nikki.
Yeah. Stats. But who are you, what are you doing? Who are you? You're pushing the Vikings to
the
one,
the Bears to one, I guess. Like, I don't even know. Like that division. I mean, I'm not, it's a major what if, cause he's going to be fine. Are there any for you that it's like a massive change? Bills are overrated, by the way. I know they took care of business today. But
well, I think obviously in week one, the Dolphins played the Patriots and beat them.
Yeah.
But even with the Tua injury, from what I saw today, the Patriots are the better team.
Yep.
If you take away that Damian Harris fumble, I think they win that game. Mm-hmm. So for you, as a Pats fan, I think you got to feel pretty good about the victory to get today against the Jets. I don't think it was it wasn't the 35-0 Buffalo Dolphins victory, but y'all took care of business in every facet of the game. I would say, yes, wow. You've hit on your Carolina. You've hit on the Broncos might be the second best team in the AFC West.
Well, and that's a
look. The Raiders are also 2-0, so they might be the second best team. You can make that argument for both of those teams. The Raiders are a lot more complete than I thought they were, and the Broncos are a very complete team. I mean, Cortland Sutton, I'm super happy that he was back to form. I know a lot of that is coming at Judy's expense, but Fant and Sutton both ate today, and Teddy Bridgewater, man, him with Pat Shurmur, they've done it before. They're doing it again.
No, he's good, man. He's a good football player.
Yeah, I think the one thing that, and I know it's Russell Wilson, and it's Pete Carroll, and they're a second half of the season team.
Yeah,
except last year they weren't, but normally they are. The Rams and the 49ers, their defense, they just have such electric playmakers on the defensive side of the ball that they can do things that the Cardinals and the Seahawks can't.
Yeah. I push back.
I think the Cardinals, Chandler Jones up front with J.J. Watt. And you've got Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah,
but
Baker.
But look, it's not. And maybe I shouldn't even have brought in the 49ers because a lot of that is defensive scheme and they just have depth at the defensive positions. But Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey caught an interception today, made a play on the ball to win them the game. There are not many defensive players in the NFL that can do that. Tons of offensive players with 2 minutes left where a quarterback can win a game for a team. Not tons, but there are players that do that, and we see them more often. There are very few players on the defensive side of the ball that win football games in primetime moments for guys.
Yeah, well, look, I think the Rams are a rare situation where they have in their position groups defensive linemen, linebackers, and defensive backs. They have the best defensive back in football, and they have the best defensive lineman in football.
Yeah,
I'm trying to rack my brain of a time where that was like the case. Like literally, the best DB and the best defensive line were on the same team. I'll have to like really just kind of like break it down. I'm sure there's a situation which not like remembering. I'm pushing back on the Cardinals thing because the Cardinals I think I know it did not look good against the Vikings.
But
I think
how good are the Vikings?
Well, the Vikings offense is good. JJ Thielen. Cook. I mean, like the Vikings offense is good. Like Brian O'Neill is one of the best right tackles in the game. I mean, their offensive line's gotten better. Cousins is good. I think the Vikings have a good offense. I think Kyler is amazing. I think the Seahawks, though, you bring it. The Seahawks is the one team in here where they had the game at home.
It's like a reverse Ravens situation today because they're at Seattle with the 12th man.
Yeah. They should have. That was a bad loss.
They got the ball in OT. I mean, they didn't win the coin toss, but they got the ball.
Like they abandoned the run today. Like they were up and they just like,
yeah, Carson had 12 carries, I think.
Yeah, they got so pass happy with I know Lockett's great and they have DK, but they got so pass happy and they got so trickery and so fancy. And next thing you know, you're going to overtime with this Titans team who's hot.
Yeah.
Like they just got hot at the end of the game and you know, Henry ran all over them. Like he had that one busted run and then he just kind of like pounded the shit out of them.
It's so impressive to me. The most impressive thing about what he did today is that he busted out that 60-yard run in the fourth quarter with 6 minutes left. less than 6 minutes left. The fact that he has that type of stamina as a running back at his age, with how many carries he gets every single game, that's tremendous.
It's an excellent point as well you bring up, because the defense did not have the stamina. That was the issue. The defense was gassed and he was not.
Right.
That's where the offseason, that's where his offseason comes into play. And that's where you see a guy like that. I'm not equating him to Michael Jordan or Kobe, but like in those, like, why are those guys so good in the fourth quarter? Because of the work they put in the offseason. It's not just the shooting, and it's not just like the basketball skill. It is a lot of the times endurance. Like, who's in better shape than LeBron James? Realistically, not many people in the NBA, if anybody. Like, he is not only the highest IQ player, maybe the best skilled player, not the best shooter, obviously, you know, not the best defender, but he's like good at, you know, very good at both, clearly, but he's also in the best shape. Like, Derrick Henry is not only fast as lightning and just naturally massive, he's also in the best shape of any running back. So,
well, you would think that, like, further, those guys that are those kind of just unique specimens physically, that they would rest on their laurels at a certain point and rely on that incredible athleticism to take them to that next level, which they do in certain respects, but they also put themselves in the place where they're taking care of their body in the exact right way, where they can, throughout the entire season, NBA season, NFL season, long, including the playoffs, and perform at that high level for a long amount of time, not just in games, but across the season. So that's just one thing that I was kind of like, God, I can't believe that happened at this point in the game. And it wasn't like a, you know, fourth and one, we're bringing it all out on the edges and you cut up the middle and you take it for 40 yards. It wasn't that kind of run either. He did it on the outside. And he beat the safety around the edge. So impressive. Well, one thing though, that I thought was really interesting, kind of just a little takeaway.
Yeah.
And it's Rams specific, and I'm going to cross sport this.
Great.
But so they're in the red zone, the Colts, and the Rams are up, I think, 13 at this point.
Yeah.
Kenny Young, their linebacker, they throw a flag on him. And he pops up and he's jawing at the ref. He touches him, which resulted in his ejection. But he walks off, Aaron Donald grabs him by the helmet, puts his face right in front of him, and just talked to him, talking him down for making sure that he doesn't do anything else. And then Kenny Young walks off. Jalen Ramsey does the exact same thing. And I thought it was so impressive. I mean, I already knew he was going to get ejected, so there wasn't really much they could do outside of prevent further further misconduct from their teammate. It's just so interesting that's happening across sports, because those, again, and it's not, you talk about Derrick Henry, you talk about LeBron, these guys, these high caliber players, top players in the league, but they also have the mental capacity, and that's why what makes them such great players, to be a team leader as well. And we saw it with Manny Machado. I texted you on Saturday night about Manny Machado, you know, expecting greatness from Tatis, not only on the field, but with the other teammates in the locker room. And I mean, the Padres at this point are what, they're half a game back from the Cardinals and the Phillies, right?
Yeah.
They're not making the playoffs if the season ended today.
And I'm double checking you, but continue. This is a good point.
Yeah. I mean, just if you want to be great and you have to recognize what sport you're playing in, football and baseball and basketball, team sports.
Yeah.
And each win counts just as much as any other one. Mm-hmm. And so you can't let up. You can't see your other teammates can't see you letting up, staying focused, staying mentally in it from game to game, from play to play. You know, they need Kenny Young. They needed him today and they ended up winning the game, but you never know when your punter is going to fumble a punt and the Colts defense is going to score a touchdown on you.
Like, well,
you never know those situations. And it's just for Tatis, I think it's really interesting. He's really young. Obviously there's a lot of room for him to grow and mature as a leader. I don't know how much more growing he can do as a ball player, cause he's a hell of a ball player.
He get better at fielding for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that comes with it. I think that comes with it. And they're 3.5 back from the wild card. They're not going to make the playoffs as it stands right now. And I don't think they will. And I'm not saying it's his fault, because well, he's missed games, but he's probably going to win the MVP because the numbers he's put up are absolutely ridiculous. He's an unbelievable season.
And it would be inconsistent for us to talk about, you know, a baseball team not making the playoffs, because of one individual player, especially a hitter.
It just doesn't work like that.
Right. But I think that that morale certainly spreads across the team. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at this incident and I think to myself, oh, wait, maybe I should pay attention a little bit more to his body language when he's on a slump and how he's reacting to his teammates. Does he care if he hits a home run or does he care if his teammates hits a home run to win the game? Like, what does he really want more? And if he wants to hit a home run to win the game more than he wants to win, that's an issue, right? And to me, that's what it looks like when Machado is really calling him out.
Well, that's like the Cardinals. It's like Arenado, Goldschmidt, they don't give a shit if they're the ones that knock it out. If it's Tyler O'Neill, great. If it's, you know, Dylan Carlson, amazing. It's whoever gets it done. Lamar Jackson, like, yeah, you know, he loves having the ball in his hands. I don't think he cares in any which way he wins. I don't think Mahomes cares either. Like, if Mahomes really wanted to, do you think they could have marched down the field and gotten a touchdown the way they are moving the ball? Probably. But no, he's playing the smart game. He's going in, managing the clock, listening to Andy Reid. They're going to go down and kick the field goal, which would have happened and had Clyde Edwards-Helaire not fumbled the football. But yeah, it's a great cross sport. And it's Machado. Look, FTJ is going to learn. He'll learn from this situation. But Machado signs in San Diego, and when he signed there, it was like, okay, they're not a playoff team. Will he ever even be a playoff team, or is he just taking the money? His narrative, he's bet right. They've put a good team around him. And in his eyes, it seems like he thought that FTJ had effectively quit on the team. Like, yeah, they're back 3.5 games and I'm saying they're toast, but realistically, it's like 14, 13 games left in the season. They can make it. It's plausible. Yeah. Even the Mets aren't even done, which they are, but like, they're not done. You know, like, anything could happen at the end of September. Like, trust me, as a Red Sox fan, I know this, you know, from back in the day, anything could happen in September. With like 2 weeks, 3 weeks left. So yeah, a lot can go down. And I like Machado holding him accountable. I like that. I noticed that too. I thought that was great that Donald and Ramsey did that. And that's just because winning is everything in sports. If you go to like a player reference on NFL, like, they don't have this for basketball. Like, I try to look it up for LeBron, but like a quarterback, they have their record, like, in their stat line. Because especially in football, winning is everything. Definitely more so than baseball. And depends who you are in basketball. Like, Reggie Miller is going to the Hall of Fame, win or not. Doesn't really matter. Chris Mullin, same thing. You know, like, those, you can be like, and obviously in the NFL, you can be too. But if you're a quarterback at the end of the NFL, you better be Dan Marino. Like, people are talking about Matt Ryan, MVP, like, top tier numbers. Like, even Philip Rivers, like, who will get in the Hall of Fame, I think, easily. But like, because they don't have a ring, like, winning is everything in the NFL. And then Mike, so my question to you, before we let everyone rock, these 2-0 teams, and the 2-0 teams are, as it stands, we know how you feel about the Bucks,
yeah,
Niners, the Raiders, the Rams, the Broncos, the Cardinals, and the Panthers. Who is going to, if anyone, fizzle out and flop first, or who's the most surprising even?
Well, I think the Panthers are, there's a little bit of an asterisk in there for me because they played the Jets week 1, mm-hmm, and this didn't happen this year. And it hasn't happened ever in the NFL for a reason. They were playing a rookie quarterback, and a rookie quarterback has never won their first game. So, in NFL history, never happened.
Look, if you're a good football team, you take care of business.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're a good football team now. They do play the Bucs twice. I think that, you know, they caught the Saints obviously on a bad week, but they made a statement win. Not saying they're going to fizzle out, but I'm not expecting them to end the season 12-5. I would still be surprised if that happened.
Okay. I think it's still fair, even though I am high on them.
It's not saying, like, look, we both like Sam Darnold. Like, I like Sam Darnold. I like a lot of their coaching staff too. Obviously, you know, we share McCaffrey on a fantasy football team, so I'm gonna be rooting for that guy. They got Terrace Marshall. They got a lot of good weapons. DJ Moore you've been high on him. You really wanted him. You wanted to go and get him in a trade in fantasy, and he had another great game. They're just a good team. Yeah. And they have a solid defense as well. I think they would be my pick to fizzle out of those teams outside of the Raiders, who at any point, I think Derek Carr could start putting up bottom 15 quarterback numbers. And, you know, if Jacobs continues to be unhealthy, I just don't know. I don't know with them. I know their defense is better, but I just don't trust them.
I'm in full agreement with you on the Raiders. I think the Panthers, to make this whole thing full circle, shows you how bad the Jets are and how ill-prepared they are as an organization, because Darnold is a good quarterback, goes to the Panthers, who are a more complete team and is successful, at least to start. I know they played a decimated Saints coaching staff and the Jets, but you beat the bad teams if you want to make the playoffs. That's how you win. You don't drop those games. You don't drop any games.
Well, and they play the Texans next week, so I fully expect them to be 3-0.
Me too. If you are a good football team, you win that game. Now, I'm in on the Broncos.
I didn't even want to bring them up as someone who could fizzle out, because I don't think it's happening.
I think in the tiers, I'll tier it for you quickly, because you threw, like, we were on agreement, the Bucks. I think the Bucks are in their own level. I think the Rams are in their own level. I think the Cardinals are in a slight level ahead of the Broncos, and the Niners, who are in the next level. I think the Raiders are going to fizzle out first. My only thing is with them, I actually think they've unlocked Ruggs.
Deep touchdown today.
They have Renfro in the slot. They really didn't even need much out of Waller. The defense does look infinitely better.
Yeah, Crosby is really helping out.
He's huge. And
Jonathan Abram has looked better too.
He's good. He just was hurt. You know, he just gets injured. Like, he gave you best ability is availability. He is a rough dude, though. He's a hitter.
Yeah, he is. He got manhandled by Najee Harris today, though. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that. I mean, look, the Steelers will figure out better ways to use Najee. They'll figure out better ways to continue to spread the ball amongst their young receivers. I mean, those guys are good.
Well, it's a really unfortunate. TJ Watt got hurt in the second quarter, which it's tough for them.
I mean, that's their best player, their team, the whole team. Yeah. But I think the Vegas Raiders, if this Ruggs breakout game was for real, it wasn't like two receptions for 80 yards. It was five receptions for 113 yards. If they really start to figure him out, it adds a whole nother dimension to their team. Josh Jacobs, we know Josh Jacobs are dangerous, but I'm with you. Those are the two teams.
Any teams, just real quick, that I mentioned, like, if there was anything, you know, as you're slotting out the different divisions in football, if anyone's moved up or down, has anyone cemented their spot for you where they already were, especially the people that are at the top of the division or the bottom of the division?
Yeah, the Giants, I think, are the worst. No, actually, I take that. I wanted to harp on the Giants. I mean, the Falcons.
To me, the Giants, we didn't even really get to talk about this because we obviously recorded before the Thursday night game, but that Giants-Washington game was incredibly close.
I know, I take it back.
And Daniel Jones looked as good as he has. Like, he looked great. He ran the ball really well. I felt like Jason Garrett finally called a good game that fit his skill set, even with Saquon not really performing. So I'm not – their defense needs to shape up a bit. They need to get more pressure on the line.
Well, there's which is supposed to be their strong suit with Lawrence and Williams.
Right.
And it's supposed to be a situation – look, they penalized.
Well, and Bradbury got torched. He did.
Yeah.
And PFF has him as a top three – DB last year, but if you can't get any pressure on the quarterback, it's tough for him to do anything against Terry McLaurin.
But he also had a pick at the end of the game.
He did.
And back to your special teams point, they blew it on special teams. They had it. They won. Right. So not the Giants. The team that has like cemented itself for me,
I think
they suck, is the Falcons. Suck.
Yeah.
The Falcons suck. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else you want to throw out?
No, I just want to say that I think, to me, it looks pretty clear that the Cowboys are the best team.
Oh yeah, you're right. I told you so. Go for it, man.
That's my I told you so. You were obviously, Nick thought the Chargers were going to win. They were supposed to win. They were supposed to cover. I think it was a 3.5 point spread. You were with Nick on that pick just because of what the roster looked like going into the game. They didn't have DeMarcus Lawrence. They didn't have Randy Gregory. They didn't have their two pass rushers, their two edge rushers. And they still found a way
to the end.
And Parsons figured out a way to get involved. I thought the run defense still actually looked pretty good outside of a few rushes that Eckler, you know, busted up the middle. I told y'all Trayvon Diggs is a legit DB. He had a pick.
Amazing. He's great.
He's really good. He shut down Mike Evans. Mike Evans was great this week. He was bad last week because he had a good corner on him. And sometimes there are corners that can do that. And McCarthy tried to figure out a way to lose this game at the very end. I thought the clock management was terrible.
He sucks. Greg
Zuerlein should have had a 46 yarder instead of a 56 yarder. One thing I'm puzzled by, Tony Pollard is better than Zeke. And I know Zeke had a good game, but Pollard is really good, man. And I finally was happy that Kellen Moore was willing to put him out there and not go back and forth between the two of them. Tony Pollard had series that he played in this game, and that was really impressive to me.
I might have to start him in fantasy. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
I don't think that's crazy. No, I don't think I...
They just cemented themselves as the best team in the NFC East to me.
Yeah,
after that close loss against Tampa Bay, where they actually came down, kicked a field goal to win the game, and then Tom did his magic. Yeah. Like, they could have been 2-0 coming into, you know, week three.
Two really close games for the Chargers here.
Yeah.
It is very apparent that they have no problem getting down the field. Once they get down the field, there is a major issue getting into the end zone. And that is because the running back they have, who is excellent at what he does, is not a major threat in the red zone, to be honest. They don't have that Derrick Henry, Chris Carson type guy, which totally takes an element out of their offense once you get within the 10-yard line, 15.
Do you think Roundtree can be that guy? I think that's why we saw more of Jackson and Roundtree today. I really do.
Yeah, no, that is why you saw more of them. They're going to try that. And that's why, like Zeke is different than Pollard. That's why it's great to have both. That's why it's.
Yeah, it's more of, look, I'm being a little bold of stating that Pollard is better than Zeke. I think in the open field, he's just a little bit, he's faster. He's
shiftier. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need Ezekiel Elliott. He's so strong.
It's just for what we pay, you know, like what we pay Zeke is tough to swallow. But yeah, I agree. I don't think the Chargers are for sure cemented themselves as the worst team in that division. I think it's just a good division. I think in 3 weeks, we see the Raiders at 2-3 and the Chargers are 3-2. And then we're like, okay, they're not the worst team in this division.
I don't think they are. I think it's a tough division as well. And I think that's the missing piece for that. I'm curious to see what Nick thinks. If Nick doesn't listen to this, great. You don't say anything. I think you and I are on the same page of the Eckler situation, which is not Eckler's fault. It's just a roster construction fault. I'm curious to see what Nick thinks. But yeah, you don't pay a running back that much and you don't take a running back in the first round unless you are absolutely complete. And even then it is a tough sell for me. I don't care what Najee Harris is or Edwards-Helaire or whatever. Like, you take a lineman of some sort, or you take like if there's a sick tight end or a quarterback, that's it.
Anything to say about the Houston Texans?
I mean, are we going to see Deshaun Watson? Like, what the hell? From a fantasy standpoint,
is Miami going to come calling?
They may. I mean, this is going to be an interesting week for Deshaun. Oh God, what a mess. What an absolute shit show. This is bizarre. They need to sort it out for just his sake, their sake, and the sake of these women. More so than anybody. It just needs to be sorted out now. I mean, I know it's illegal. The legal system in this country is, and that's like a whole nother thing for another time, is not the best. But that needs to be sorted out. But yeah, the Dolphins, I'm sure, are going to be picking up the phone like this too, Andrea, who knows? But that's all I have for the NFL. If you have anything else, we have to do some baseball next week.
Yeah. And we'll have to. Yeah. I don't think we gave the proper due. We've gone for a little while now, so we don't need to keep going, but we didn't give the proper due to college football. It was a great week of college football.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's do that for, maybe we could do that for radio, like college football and baseball.
Yeah. Good month of October coming up, right? We're in the full swing of the NFL, full swing of college football. We get playoffs and baseball. Like, this is when it's popping.
Yeah, baseball is great. It's definitely a good baseball show. I mean, we have Isaiah Roby and George Niang coming on. So that's TCS interviews for the week. But then we have obviously our radio show, so we could get some of that done too.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right, Toss. I'll see you tomorrow or Tuesday or some capacity. When are you back from Dallas tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be flying back from Dallas tomorrow and excited to get on the mic for our other podcast, Horns Up, Talking Texas with Quant Cosby. Talk through the Texas Tech game coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. We can reflect a little on the bashing of the Owls, the Rice Owls that the Texas did. Nice little Rowls. Bounce back, but the Rowls. Yeah, so it's going to be fun.
Sweetness. Let me know if you need me to get you from the airport. Go to betonline.ag. Fans out there, drag both feet in the mountains, swing on a full count, rip that puck, get that putt. Hit your PKs because they're free and hit your free throws. Why?
Because they are free.
They're free. We out you. We love you.